and let it teach us what God wants us to know. And so this is several installments in. I'll give some kind of a review in case some of you are not here, but all the messages can be found online on our website at teachingbible.org or sttmbc.com. If you go there, sttmbc.org will link you to the site as well. Okay, so we thank God for that. And so before we get started today, this installment is very important because we've been seeing, I think some of you may have been surprised at how many times free will offerings were given in the Old Testament. You don't pay attention to it because nobody teaches about it. And so, but you'll see over and over that, for example, we mentioned the patriarch Abraham, after he had defeated the kings, he gave 10% to Melchizedek. That was the free will of his hand. No one told him to do it. He just decided to do it because it seemed right. That's the way he wanted to bless God. And thank God for providing for him and giving him the victory. Same thing with Jacob, the patriarch. He decided to give 10%. The Lord said, if you'll be with me and bless me and so on and so forth. And he, for the free will of his hand, offered God 10%. Nothing there that says anyone told him to do it. The book of the law was not written yet by the time that was done. Moses writes this afterwards. And then when we looked in the law, what was amazing to me, we got to Leviticus in the first chapter. The very first thing it mentions is the free will offering of your hand. And then we discussed on last week about tithing. What is up with tithing? We found out that there was three tithes that Israel paid, and that was for to support the theocracy of Israel. And so we looked at that. And so I'm just kind of hitting some of the high points of what we have already discussed in the study thus far. We talked about how the tithing system was the government of Israel, and that was like taxation to provide for judges, for different people who had to do particular work, and all those people were in the tribe of Levi who received tithes from the 11 other tribes, and then they had to pay a tithe. We looked at that. And there were three tithes. There was the Levites' tithe, the festival tithe, and also the welfare tithe, which was paid every third year. And that was for the widows, the fatherless, the orphans, the sojourners in the land, kind of like our welfare system in America right now. And so we looked at that. And then we looked at several places where mostly everybody that we did look at, we saw a bunch of free will offering being done. And offering was completely separate from tithing. Tithing was the support of the government, and offering was to be made above and beyond that. And so we're going to look again today. We're going to talk about the principles of giving by grace, because everything we have, we said we are stewards. We started the subject with this, that God makes us a steward of everything that we possess. And we're either a good steward or we're not a good steward, one or the other. And so basically, people who don't ever connect with God don't understand that everything they own, God is the one who gave it to them. And see, we looked at the fact that we come in the world naked, not even with even clothes on our back, and we leave the same way as we came. And nothing that you have in between really goes with you. It all, you know, stacks up right here. So the way we use what we have is critical. It's very important how we use the things God allots to our charge. God is very generous. And he writes things like what we say in Psalms 37, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be envious of the workers of iniquity. Because what happens, saved people look at the wicked and how they're stacking up money, and they got money piled up halfway to heaven. And then they get upset. Well, Lord, I'm over here serving you, and I'm trying to do right, and look at how the wicked is prospering. And God says, no, fret not yourself.
That's right.
Because of evildoers, neither be ye envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut off.
Yes.
It's only going to last a while. And then he even says stuff like, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just.
That's right.
And all these kind of things. So God is letting you see, I'm in charge. And Paul even said, you know, being rich is not the problem. The problem is, do you have money or does money have you?
Amen.
Which one is the case? He said the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. See, and that's what corrupts people in the church and all that, has them saying stuff like, oh, if you make a vow of faith for $10,000, God is done. All these kind of people we see. So we see all that out there in the world. So it's very necessary for us to take a sane look at what God said in his word and break it down. And that's what we've been endeavoring to do the past several Sundays. Of course, we took a break for the season of Passover and Good Friday and all that. And so now we're going to look today at a few more things. I want to take you a little higher in your understanding. We're going to talk about principles of giving by grace. I'm going to ask the deacons to read just a couple of short passages, one from the book of Exodus, chapter 25, verses 1 to 8, and then a few verses out of Luke 6, and give them your attention at this time. Amen.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering. Of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering. And this is the offering which ye shall take of them, gold and silver and brass, and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen, and goat's hair, and ram skins dyed red, and badger's skins, and shittim wood, all for the light, spices for the anointing oil, and for sweet incense, onyx stones, and stones to be set in the ephod, and in the breastplate, and let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them.
Amen. May God bless the reading of the Old Covenant. Now for the New Testament.
Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet with them, it shall be measured unto you again.
Amen. Amen. God bless the reading of the New Covenant. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. And as we said, we're going to speak briefly on the subject of principles of giving by grace. Let us pray. Eternal God, we bless you. We praise you, Father. We exalt your name. We thank you for mercy and grace, Father. And we thank you for everything you have allotted into our care, Lord. You have given us many, many things. Sometime, Lord, in our life, the stuff you gave us, we didn't use it very well before we got saved, some of us. And we squandered it like that prodigal son went out on riotous living and lived it up. But you called us back, God. And just like you did him, you blessed us, covered us with the grace of Jesus Christ. And you continue to bless us in spite of our spiritual poverty, Father, that we went out spiritually and squandered all the good blessings that you had given us. And so, Father, today we want to learn something new, how to see the grace that was in that you did for us and how we can apply that to the things that you have given us. Father, we're praying here for financial success for everybody under the sound of my voice. Yeah. And we're not scared to ask you because we read in your word that the earth is yours and the fullness thereof, the world and they who dwell in it. And Father, we read somewhere in there that you, David said, I was young and now I'm old and I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. And so, Father, we ask you to take away fear of intimidation by the culture, by the false church. Yeah. By our own flesh and our own minds when we doubt you about things pertaining to giving, and teach us how to walk in the grace that you have shown us in giving your son. Help us to see how much more he was worth than anything that we could possibly possess, and that you offered him as a sacrifice for our sins, that he might be crucified and lifted up between heaven and earth in order to reconcile us back to you. Help us to see the great value of Christ and what he has done for us, Lord. And the promise, the splendid promise that you raised him out of the grave in order to be able to accept wretches like us. And we just thank you for that, Father. There's no thing that we could imagine that we possess that is nearly to be compared with what Jesus has done for us. So bless us today with more understanding. We'll give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. What I wanted you to see here in this Exodus passage, and I did ask media to cue up another passage. I'll have Brother Ryan put that up a little later if we can get there. I think he's got the whole thing there going right now. I have a slide, another one with Exodus 36. But let's look at this here. I want to just get to this point. The first thing we see, is it surprising to you when you look at Exodus 25, and it says, And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering. Now, he's requesting an offering, but notice the condition. Of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart. he shall take my offering. He didn't say this is a requirement. He said, whoever wants to help do what I'm trying to do, get the thing done I want to do, he's willing. He wants with his heart, take it from them. Don't take it from people who are stingy. Amen. A lot of times we have problems with being stingy. Amen. We want to hold every little penny, you know. Amen. I heard somebody say somebody pinched a penny into Lincoln Holland on there, you know, and all of this. But we live in a culture that is predisposed with things about money. I mean, how many songs do you know? I said I was going to take a poll this morning. How many songs do you know about money? Somebody wrote a song talking about, if I had $1 million. And they sing about that kind of thing, right? Somebody said, for the love of money. And you might know something. It's what songs, you know, Pink Floyd has a song about money.
I want to be rich.
I want to be rich. See what I'm saying? Somebody got a song about, she ain't no gold digger, but I'm not going to go there. I mean, all these songs that we have in the culture, all about money. I'm down in these last $2. Somebody sang a song, right? So you find all kind of songs about $2, about all about money. People predispose with it.
I got no $1 million working in the factory blues.
My. $1 million working in the factory blues. My God. And you can go on and on. I think if I was to pick your brain, we could probably come up with hundreds of more. You know? People talking about they can't get no satisfaction and all kinds of stuff, you know, singing about all having to do with money. And so money really is a big thing to learn how to deal with and have control of. It's a good thing if you have control of the money. Sometimes money runs people's lives. They get it and all they're going to do is do whatever it is that they do, and they're not thinking about how can I make this be something beneficial, not necessarily to myself, but to the kingdom of God.
Yes.
People who are saved, I expect them to understand this a little better, because if you are saved, you know you didn't do anything to earn it.
Amen. Amen.
That one day God woke you up to see your own personal spiritual poverty. And he showed you his richness that I gave my son.
Yes, he did.
Jesus Christ. He was God, the Son, who was crucified on the cross. Now, what do you have that you own or that anybody owns, for all that matters, that compares with what God has already given us? Nothing. So we have to get there, first of all. And I'm not saying, you notice we talk about this, I always like to mention we have these preachings after the offering, so we're not trying to coerce you to make a bigger offering today. That's not the point. The point is, I want you to understand how you deal with the problem, and your money can be a problem.
Amen.
You know what, if you're not rich, and I would say everybody in here is rich compared to some people in the world.
Amen.
You know, because there's people I look at and I go, man, boy, I wouldn't want to trade places with them, you know, because they're in some serious poverty.
Yes.
A lot of times. We have it really well here in this country. I would say this is the most blessed country
Amen.
In the history of time.
Amen.
You see, because nobody has what we have.
Right.
You know, all kinds of new stuff is out here and it has changed the world, revolutionized the entire world.
Yes.
You know, since America came, we've had all kinds of stuff, automobiles, aircraft, we're flying through space, we're doing all kinds of stuff nobody ever did in the history of time. Telephone, telecommunications, I can stand here and talk to people anywhere on the planet with something, a little device that I hold in my hand. Things of that sort. So God has greatly and richly blessed our country, and I think we have not blessed him back. At one while in the history of America, we did. But we don't do it so much now. Now we kicked God out almost entirely 50 years ago.
Yes,
told him, hit the road, we don't need you now. We got technology. You know, and a lot of us are addicted to the technology God.
Uh-huh.
And so we think technology and the internet and all this stuff's all going to really bless us. But we don't realize, just like Prince the other day, we don't know what happened there. But 57 years, I thought, man, boy, I'm 2 years older than you and you gone already. You know, I'm going, wait a minute now, you know, I'm thinking about that. I mean, you need to be prepared, because we don't ever know when we're going to check out, do we? You know, and I just said that to say that we need to understand where we are. We need to understand who we are. Now, when God gave Jesus, as far as my little brain here, I can't calculate anything that's worth anywhere near what God has already given for me. And so, therefore, dedication to the purpose of God and the plan of God is an important thing. Nothing can be more important than how we use what we have to promote the agenda of God, because the agendas that we had promoted prior to being saved were not all that pretty, were they?
No.
You know, I speak for myself. I know the room got quiet when I said that. But now everybody probably is not as bad as me. And maybe that's why I'm so grateful. I might be like that woman that was anointing Jesus' feet with her hair and crying and all that and pouring out alabaster box and all that. That meant nothing to her. Hey, I got to praise this man here because he took me out of slavery. You know, and so I appreciate him like that. I really do. And so he has blessed me in spite of what I've done. You know, he took me through a lot of changes. But God is always looking for the person that, as he says here in Exodus 25:2, speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth them willingly.
Yes.
With his heart.
Yes.
He shall take my offering. And then he gives a list of things. I was going to ask Brother Ron if he would put that Exodus 36. It took a while from 25 when Moses made the request for them to collect the offering. When you get to 36, it's on a window slide there, on that slide dog, if you can find it. I just put that software in, so it's kind of unfair. I'm giving him time to work on it on the fly here. But in either case, it goes on to say that they brought so much, Moses had to say, stop! Don't bring no more. Stop it. We don't have nowhere to put the stuff. Now, when have you ever went to a church and they said, stop, put your money back. Don't bring no more money up here. We got too much. Have you ever seen that?
No.
No, I've never seen it. If I see anything, they say, everybody hold up $5 and they try to milk another $5 out of you. That's what I see at some of these churches. I'm just being real. Let us all stand there. Everybody got at least $2 in your wallet, don't you? And they try to milk you. You know, but you know what? God's people don't need to be milked. You know, if you love God, you want to bless God. You want to do what's right. And so God said, that's the ones I want. He said, don't give grudgingly or, you know, with a grudge in your heart. If you do, you might as well keep it. You know, keep it in your pocket. It'll be better off for you to use it for what you want to do. And so in either case, what I want you to see here is now that we can clearly see that tithing, the tithing of the theocracy of Israel was, here's a few points. It was required, first of all, just like our taxes are, we have to render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Caesar gets his before you get yours.
Get it up front.
Most of the time, unless you're self-employed, then you are kind of somewhat in a little bit in more charge of that. But if you work for anybody, they clip you out of your check immediately before you ever see your check. It's already been cut 20% or more, you know, depending on your deductions. But so we've learned here that this was for the theocracy, which is the governmental system of Israel. It was required for the purpose of supporting the political, national, financial, and spiritual systems of the country. And therefore, it was not giving God anything which could be considered as an offering. Did you realize that? Just like you paying your taxes. You pay your taxes so you have roads and all that to ride on. And so we see here, this was some of the purposes of tithing. It was not giving God anything, and that it was under the tithing system, which could not be considered as an offering. Under the tithing system, failure to pay it was just like us failing to pay our taxes. We're going to elicit a visit from the IRS or an audit if we don't do right, file the right papers. And that offering to God was always a separate act of free will. We've seen that in all of the Old Testament so far.
Yes.
From the goodness of the heart of a saved person in gratitude toward God as a witness to the unbelieving Gentiles who observe the way of life of the Jews. God wants to see, the reason he blesses you and me is he wants to make you look good. So when you bless him back so that we can tell more people about him, God is using you. Do you know Jesus said, well, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world.
Yeah.
But when I go out of the world, what? Ye are the light of the world.
Yes.
He says, a city set up on a hill cannot be hid.
Yes.
I'm making you look good.
Right.
That's what he's saying.
Right.
I'm giving you my spirit. You know why you look good? Because you're not worried about when you get a bill in the mail. Okay, so God going to take care of it. You're not worried about it. When you get sick, God's going to get me, raise me up. You're not worried about it. You got a God you can call on. And he loves you so much, he's giving his son for you already. And Paul said this. He says, if God spared not his own son, how shall he not also freely give us all things? See, Think about that. He who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all.
Yes.
In the book of Romans. How shall he not also with him freely give us all things?
Yes.
See, if he gave you his very best, who is his son, what is $1,000? What is that?
Right.
That's nothing compared to the blood of Jesus, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, and so Paul also writes in Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. That's one of my favorite verses in the Bible.
Uh-huh.
You know, he says, whatever you're going through, it's not even worthy to be compared.
Yeah.
You can't even compare it to anything. Think about the suffering of Christ hanging there on the tree. No, there's nothing you're going through that compares with that.
No.
Anything you can go through won't compare with that.
Amen.
You know, and God gave us his best to initiate a relationship with us.
Uh-huh.
He gave us his best.
Yeah.
What better than he have given you?
Okay.
Nothing. There's nothing better he could have given you. Nothing. He gave you his son.
Nothing.
And so what will he hold back from you if you need something to make you look good so you can draw people to Christ?
Yes.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So we need to have the right mindset about who we are, where we are in time, the reason God blessed us. And remember the grace that he exerted when he caused you to believe the gospel.
Oh, yes.
You know, we wouldn't believe at all if God didn't cause us to believe or give us faith.
Right.
The Bible says faith comes by hearing. That's why preaching is the most important thing on the planet. It's more important than what is Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump talking about. You know, it's more important than what is Vladimir Putin talking about. It's more important. We can start naming world leaders all around the world. The gospel is more important than everything they have to say. And you and I have been entrusted with the gospel and given the privilege to spread it around the world. So what does that mean to you? That's the way you have to look at it. And so what I want you to see here also is that even when God charged Moses to take up this collection of items for building the tabernacle, and he was commanded by God not only to take it from the ones who had a willing heart to give the offering, and that their response to God's request was a direct measurement of their own personal love toward God, and these are in your notes, and that he had ordained the children of Israel, and that they gave so much willingly, they had to be commanded to stop. That's how much they show God love.
Wow.
We're going to give so much Moses and say, hey, whoa, don't bring no more in here. I'm looking for the day I go into church and somebody tell me, hey, don't put your wallet away. We don't need that. I haven't seen that. You know, it's kind of crazy the way the church runs these days. And so these are the things I'm talking about. God is looking about the attitude of your heart. Whatever you have, he gave it to you.
Yes, he did.
Doesn't make any difference. Now, some people don't think that way. They think, oh, this is mine, and we hold on to it. You know, but everything, just to use, since this is a recent case of it, whatever Prince had acquired is still here. And his soul is now in the presence of God with nothing but whatever he laid up ahead of time. And I don't know what that is, and I don't want to say to analyze him at all, but that's true of everyone. The day you cease, the biology of your body ceases, and you're no longer living in here, and you go to be in front of God, what will your life stack up to be based on what he allotted to your account?
All right.
That's the thing that really will make an important place in your mind. I mean, is what's really important? You know, you got to sift through everything. Raising your family, teaching them, raising up a godly seed, all that's a good thing. Those are investments that you make in eternity when you bring up your family right and that type of thing. Teach them the knowledge of God.
Amen.
God is interested in a godly seed.
Yes.
Because you know what? We're all going to check out if he doesn't come back. In our lifetime, he could. You know, it could be the next 5 minutes. You never know. It's the next event on God's calendar is the return of Christ.
Yes.
And so we don't want to be found sleeping on that. And so it's a good thing to let this regulate how you do and how you plan. God is a God of great planning. He wants you to use wisdom in what you do. The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, James 1 and 5, let him ask of God, who gives liberally to all and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. God will give you all the wisdom you need. He said, but let him ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man expect that he shall receive anything from the Lord. Being a double-minded man who is unstable in all his ways. Don't be double-minded toward God. If you trust God, and I believe you do, then walk with God. Ask him what you need. He said that. Now think about that. here it is, the creator of the universe said, ask whatever you need.
Yes, sir.
But don't ask and come doubting, because if you doubt, why should I give it to you?
Amen.
If you don't know that I am, I'm here to bless you, why should I give you anything?
All right.
If you're double-minded, the Greek word is dipsoukos, two souls. That means two souls, dipsoukos. If you got two souls, one soul is divided over here, and I'm going, it's like being two-faced. Except he's saying two-souled, and they translated double-minded.
Yes.
That basically God has given you a blank check.
Yes.
I'm asking God for some astronomical things.
All right.
You know what? If I can do it myself, I don't need to ask God.
That's right.
I'm asking him for stuff that's impossible for me. There's no way. We would say in the vernacular, no way, Jose. This stuff is not possible. But I believe he can do it.
Yes.
You know why? Because he said, now to him who is able to do exceeding and abundantly beyond all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory and majesty. Paul said in one of his great benedictions. So, you know what? Ask God for the big stuff. Why wouldn't you? If your intention is right, check your intention. Make sure it's right. If it is, God is able. You know? And he can do anything but fail. And he cannot lie. Those are a couple of things God cannot do. And so look at this New Testament one here quickly, and we'll be done here in a minute. Luke 6. Now, we talk about this one all the time, and you've heard it, but I've backed it up to verse 36, because Jesus is saying, be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Do we know God is merciful?
Yes, I do.
Now, notice this whole list of things. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given to you. That's all in the same list. We isolate verse 38 sometimes, but it's in the flow of things. If you don't judge, if you are merciful like God is toward others, you don't judge like God doesn't. He could have judged me and took me on out. I wouldn't even be here. He says, you shall not be judged. Don't condemn. Don't condemn people.
Yes.
And you shall not be condemned. That's not your business. That's his business.
Yeah.
Forgive. If somebody does you wrong, forgive. It doesn't say unless they did so-and-so. There's no caveats. Forgive everybody that does anything to you. You know what? You want to be free? Free up your mind and forgive people.
Amen.
A lot of times we hold grudges. I don't know about Vernice. I can't forgive her. You know, she stepped on my toe one time too many. And we gonna hold a grudge against somebody. God said, no, give it up.
Give it up.
Forgive, just like I did you.
Right.
Suppose I analyze your account and find out what you did. But suppose I don't show you the mercy that you need.
Come on now.
So God says, if you want to be like me, forgive.
Yeah.
That's a big one. Jesus said, if you don't forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. Boy, that's deep there, isn't it? But we have the audacity to hold grudges. But notice that flow there. He says, judge not and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, ye shall not be condemned. Forgive and ye shall be forgiven. Give and it shall be given to you. Good measure. Now he adds on to this one. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over. Wow. When you give, look at all the stuff he put behind that. It's going to be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. It's going to be overflowing.
Yeah.
You know. And he put that on the giving component of what he said. And then he goes on to say, and shall men give into your bosom. There's going to be people in the earth who give you what you need because you give and you're generous toward God. Then he says, for with the same measure that you meet, in other words, whatever device you use to give, I'm going to use that to give it back to you. In other words, if I get a big a trash can load of money and throw it to God, he's going to throw it back to me with a dumpster. Just to give you an idea, that's what he says. Invest in the kingdom. God says, I'm going to bless you back more than you're blessing me. Whatever you use, it's going to be used. If you come with a thimble, guess what you're going to get? Go got a little thimble. You see? No, give him your best. Step out on his word. This is one of the few things God says, prove me now in this. And he was talking to Israel about tithes. That's money they should have paid because they were wrong when they didn't pay the tithes. Because the temple was neglected and the thing that stands for God that represents him was neglected. And people bringing lame, cripple stuff up there and all that means you have a bad intention in your heart toward God and what he's doing in the world. God's agenda is very simple. He is trying to save as many people as he can. And God does not want to destroy one person. The Bible says that. It's not his desire that any should perish.
Yeah.
So when we see these folks who we classify kind of like we looked at the folks this morning, the Pharisees, oh, we ain't hanging out with them.
Right.
Who are you?
Amen.
How did you get saved?
All right.
What made you so pristine you ain't hanging out with them? You know, how can you look down on people and it doesn't make any difference? You know what? The more in a mess they are, the more glory God gets when they get saved. You know, and he uses us. You know what? We were probably a mess. I'm not going to talk about you. I'll talk about me. I know I was a mess. At one time in my life, I was a total mess. And God saw through my mess. And you know when he did it, when I got sincere with him and said, Lord, I need you. My life is a mess. You know what? As soon as I said that, it was kind of like that prodigal son we looked at this morning. God turned some grace over on me that was is continuing to bless me all the way till now. You know, he turned me around 180 degrees. And I'm still going in that direction. I'm not going back the other way. I might stumble back a step or two here or there. I'm not saying I'm perfect now. But I'm still heading in the right direction. That's why I say I like the sign right out in front of here. This is Highway 180. That's where we're at. We're on 180. We want people to come in and make a 180. Let's turn around and start walking with God. You've been walking with Satan? 180 degrees. Get away from it. Turn around. See? I like that. I look with the sign right in front of the door. 180. So you come up in here, that's what we want you to do. God loves you. He can turn you around. He can make up for everything that you lost. Joel, I think it's 2:25 says, God will give back to you the years that the locusts have eaten. He'll give you back what was destroyed, what the devil took from you. You don't have to worry about it. He wants to bless you. The question is, do you want to be blessed? If you do, learn this principle of giving by grace. The widow that only had the two mites, she dropped the two mites in. Jesus stopped the procession. Called his disciples, come over here, look at this. They said, what? You want us to come watch you? A woman dropped two pennies in the offering, Lord, come on. He said, yeah, but she dropped in out of her. That was all she had to live on. Everybody else was paying a tithe. They probably paid 10%. They had surplus. The tithe wasn't hurting them at all. She had two red pennies. She dropped them in, so I'm going to trust God and going on about my business. She had nothing. And he said, this widow is giving more than everybody. So God is not looking at the amount of your offering. He's looking at the quality of it and of your heart. If you love him, show it by the way you give. Watch and see that he give you more. I don't know what even happened to her. I wish he would have put that in the word. It doesn't tell me, but in my soul, I know she was blessed. Because he had blessed the widow in Zarephath. And Jesus said that got him in trouble. He told him about Naaman the Assyrian. He said, remember Naaman the Assyrian? So yeah, he got blessed. God blessed him and saved him. He was a Gentile. Oh, wow. And that widow of Zarephath, he said, there was many widows in Israel he could have blessed. But he went to the widow of Zarephath in Sidon and blessed her. That's amazing. And the Jews got mad. They were filled with anger when he said, oh! And they wanted to kill him. They tried to run him to the edge of the brow of the hill, and he escaped in their midst. Got walked right through them. But they hated that. They didn't want to see those Gentiles being saved. But you and I, we can't do that. We make divisions of different types. We need to learn that the grace of God, if it was sufficient for me, it's sufficient for anybody.
Amen.
Reach out, invest whatever you have to do, and it'll give you back return. Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures here on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but rather lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and thieves do not break through nor steal. See, you can have some impregnable riches laid up with God. And so what it really amounts to as I close is we just need to trust God when we give. Pray about it. Don't be holding on to it. Let some things go. Trust God. So the same principle of grace giving is taught in the New Testament as well. We've seen it in the Old Testament. And Jesus commanded us to give, and it shall be given unto us with the same measure that we use. And he promised all who do support the things of God that they will never need to be worried about having the things that they need in this life and neither in the life to come. He says, I'll bless you now, and I'll bless you in the life to come.
Hallelujah.
You know, so you want to talk about peace, a peaceful state of mind. You know, you might have some troubling things going on. I think I did something that somebody would, in fact, I've been told, you crazy, man, for leaving your job. Because I had a job that paid over 100 grand a year.
Amen.
You know, oh, you must be crazy. I said, yeah, I am crazy about Jesus.
Amen.
And I'm going to start spreading this gospel like a lunatic. I'm going to go out of my mind. You think I'm crazy now? You just wait. And you know what? The Lord has been gracious. He's been blessing us hand over fist.
Yeah.
And I believe he'll continue to do it. You know why? Because he said he would.
Yeah.
And so I'm freeing up my time to do more work for the kingdom.
Yeah.
And so this is what I want to say just as we close. I want you to pray about it yourself, and I'm going to have a word of prayer. Hopefully you have gotten something to help you think today a little bit about the principles of giving by grace. And we're going to see some more. I got a couple more installments in this. Y'all might be thinking, oh, he's been on this a long time. Well, I want you to get the maximum benefit of what God is saying and his word. And so we want to take our time and go through it. And that way we can understand. I got some other stuff I want to give you. We'll be moving to another subject after that. But I'm going to deal with this because it was in my heart for some time to deal with it. And we ran into some things that caused us not to be able to get into it. And so I'm going to continue this until we get everything I think God wants us to know. So right now I want to go ahead and have a word of prayer. Lord God, we bless you, we praise you, we exalt your name. We thank you, Father, because you are gracious and you are merciful. You have blessed us, Father, and we didn't deserve it at all. And Father, you have given us many things, Lord, and we believe you have everything, that the earth is yours,
yes,
and the fullness thereof. So Father, we pray that you bless us with the area of giving by grace, Father, that every person here would be considering what they can do to help advance the kingdom of God in the time that we have. Father, we want to be successful in getting the word out, because we know that's what you desire, Father. It's not your desire that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And Father, we live in troubled times. You told us in the word that these are the perilous times. And so, Father, we want to ask that you bless us with everything we need, everything physically, spiritually, financially, emotionally, any way we need to be blessed. And help us, Father, to look at the people who are that are our mission field, those people who are out there in the world bad, like we used to be, some of us. And help us to show them the grace and the mercy and the love that you have shown us, so that we can call them to repentance, Father, that you can use us to plant or to water, and you give the increase. Lord God, we bless you. We give you praise. Thank you for the privilege, Lord, to represent you in the world. And we ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his righteousness that we pray. Amen. Amen. If you're here today and you are not saved, we want to give you the opportunity to come at this time. We offer Christ to you. If you're not saved, it's not God's desire for you not to be saved. In fact, it's on the other hand, he wants you to be saved. That's why he gave his Son, Jesus Christ. And I always like to remind people that the world is configured around Christ. Y'all know I love to say that. Because it's something that they can't refute.
Uh-huh.
It's 2016 because Jesus was born 2016 years ago. That's not true of anybody else. I don't care how ecumenical you want to be or all of that. Your birth certificate and your tombstone will be associated with Jesus, whether you like it or not. But that's the date on the whole planet, all the way around the globe. See, and so you can either be saved or you can be lost.
Amen.
But we admonish you to trust Christ and believe in him, believe that God raised him from the dead. The Bible says you shall be saved. There wouldn't even be a church. If Jesus hadn't gotten out the grave, I wouldn't have anything to preach.
Amen.
You know, but he got up out of the grave with all power in his hands. And if you need a church home, we want you to come and we give you that opportunity to be discipled here. And it is our good pleasure to teach you the word of God clearly in a way that you can understand it. Amen. And we would give you that opportunity. You can come as a Christian with experience, or you can come as a candidate for baptism. Sometimes people have been saved and have not been baptized. And if you want to be baptized, the Bible says, but be baptized and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. So baptism is important, very important. And it will be our great privilege to baptize you if you have never been baptized. Amen. And so we give you that opportunity at this time. Amen. Come, come to Jesus while you have time. Come, come to Jesus. Make up your mind. He will make your life brand new. He will take care of you. Come, come to Jesus while you have time. Amen. We have done as God commands. We see that there are none, but yet there is room. Amen. Amen. So we thank God. I just want to say, give out a shout again to our visitors who are here today at this time. Thank God for you being here. We hope this won't be your last time. Some of you have been here before, and we thank God for you coming again. Amen. And some of you have just come for the first time, so we do want to let you know you are welcomed in the sanctuary, and we hope you'll consider St. Timothy. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
If you're looking for a church home. Amen. Amen. Are there any, are all thoughts and minds clear? If so, let us stand to receive the benediction.
Amen. Pastor Ball is having an anniversary dinner. I think you're supposed to be speaking.
Yeah, he invited me. He sent me an invitation.
Okay. And if anyone that wants to go, let me know, because I have several tickets for that.
Okay. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, we bless you. We praise you. We ask that you let your face shine upon us, Lord, and continue to be gracious to us. Bless us, O God, as we go down from this place.
Yes.
Let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are truly our Lord, our strength, and our Redeemer. Father, we ask this all in the name and to the praise of Jesus Christ, your Son, to whom be glory and majesty, dominion and power. We ask that you bless us as we go out. Lord, bless us when we come in. Every which way, O God, we ask your grace and your blessings on all these, your people. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.